Thank you, Ganesh, and dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam, and welcome to Bhajan Classroom after Vedam Tutor. A few days ago, I was speaking to a few devotees from Turkey, and one of them said, "What draws him to Bhagwan? What keeps him going and what always goes on inside him is Sai Bhajans." In fact, one of the chairpersons of the Sathya Sai centers in Turkey, Mr. Rafi, he told me that even though they don't understand the Indian languages, even though they don't understand all the words in Sanskrit, they sing all the bhajans the way it is sung in Prashantinilayam. They sing it with the Sanskrit words and slowly they try to understand what each word means. Only once a week they have bhajans in Turkish, but all the other days they have bhajans as it is sung in Prashantinilayam and as it is sung in Sai centers and most of the places. He says, because somehow even though we don't understand the words, we like the bhajans, we like the tune. I remember talking to another couple from Turkey, and this gentleman is a professor in a university. He is the dean of the Department of Communications in a university in Istanbul, and he said the vibrations of bhajans and the tune of the bhajans captivates him so much that it doesn't matter if they don't understand all the words, they just love the flow of Sai bhajans. And this is something that I heard from someone who is from Germany also very recently. There is a group of devotees from the European nations in Prashantinilayam, and they are in love with Sai bhajans. I think there are very hardly anyone in the Sai fraternity who does not love to sit for a Sai bhajan session. There is something about it. There is something about what it does to us. And when we understand what each word in the bhajan means, it only becomes much more profound. In fact, I was talking to devotees from Middle East, and they told how the bhajan classroom, where every word is explained, helps them so much to immerse themselves in the bhava of the bhajan. And we are so happy, we are grateful to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity to present this program to you, dear listeners, with prayers at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Let us begin a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Let us close our eyes. Let us imagine him. Let us visualize him in the still lake of our mind. And there, let us soak ourselves in the bliss of his form, in the serenity of his presence, and in the beauty of his name. Let us begin. Let us offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the Omniscient, Omnipresent One. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we learn to see you in everything we do and feel you in every thought, word and deed. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we learn a bhajan which adores the divine as the one who has so many names and forms. This is a multi-faith bhajan. And the first line goes like this.
Mandir mein tum Ram ho Sai.
So this is what we will be learning today, and like always, we will start with becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end, we will listen to Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University, sharing his reflections on Sai Bhajan singing. So, here are the lyrics.
मंदिर में तुम राम हो साई मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक मन मंदिर में साई साई बोलो राम एक ही नाम सब मिल बोलो साई राम.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Aniruddha follow Ravi Kumar after every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Aniruddha.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham.
मंदिर में तुम राम हो साई
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 मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद
मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद
मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद
मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद
गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक
गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक
गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक
गुरुद्वारे
मन मंदिर में साई साई
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 बोलो राम एक ही नाम
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 सब मिल बोलो साई राम
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 मंदिर में तुम राम हो साई.
So that is this melodious bhajan. Ravi Kumar and Aniruddha demonstrated to us the tune. And now let us move on in this bhajan classroom and learn what makes this bhajan so beautiful. Aniruddha is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Aniruddha, what is the raga behind this composition?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This bhajan is a amazing composition, where you have multiple ragas coming into picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have some of them, like I think when I hear the first time this bhajan, what comes to me in my mind is the Sindhu Bhairavi based raga.
Okay.
Where you have all the similar bhajans like
Jaya Panduranga Prabhu Vittala Shama Sundara Hari Govinda Bolo.
So that is the feel it gives.
Yeah, that is the feel it gives. It means any That's what I guess so. Yeah. Means listeners can get back to us by definitely listening if they can relate to some other bhajan or any other raga they think of belonging to.
Yeah.
So, as I said, Sindhu Bhairavi, and then as you go through the bhajan, you have like
Masjid mein ga.
Whereas in Sindhu Bhairavi, you don't have the Shuddh ga.
Sariga.
Yes, Sindhu Bhairavi.
Sariga.
Then where it comes to raga like Ahir Bhairavi, Chakravakam in the Carnatic music.
Gurudware mein tum Guru Nanak.
And again it deviates back to the Sindhu Bhairavi. So it's a, that's what, it's a beautiful composition.
It's a medley of two,
yeah,
three ragas.
Two, three ragas, you can say.
Yeah. That's what adds so much beauty to me.
And really the beauty will be appreciated when we do the line by line swaras.
Yeah.
So that you know, oh, here the ga is changed. Okay, here the ma is changed. Okay, yes. The feel is changed.
Since you mentioned that what immediately occurred to you when you heard this bhajan is Sindhu Bhairavi. So maybe you can just give our listeners a feel of this raga, which has a lot of soft notes, as you were saying.
Yeah, definitely. So in this raga you have
Sare,
Komal Re, and also you have Shuddh Re.
Re Gam Re Sa.
Yeah, that also comes in this raga.
Ga.
Ga is Komal Ga, minor Ga.
Ma Pa Dha.
Dha is Komal Dha. But in Sindhu Bhairavi also there is a play of Shuddh Da also.
Da ni sa da pa ni.
Ni is Komal Ni, Ni one.
Sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
So these are the notes where it just goes around, and there is a mild touch of one more raga. You can call it Ahir Bhairavi. Chakravakam, as I told before.
Yeah.
Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
So in this, the re is Komal Re, and the other notes are Shuddh, and ni, ni is also Komal.
Ni,
yeah.
Ni Komal. Yeah. Yes.
Gurudware mein tum Guru Nanak. Na 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 na.
So it gives a feel of the Chakravakam.
Yes.
And then when it comes back to
ta na 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 na, bolo Rami kahina.
All this give the Sindhu Bhairavi touches.
Yes. So plenty of soft notes.
Yeah. I think I didn't confuse you by telling like so many notes and all that.
No, I think, but as you mentioned, it is Sindhu Bhairavi, but you have touches of Ahir Bhairavi.
Yeah, Ahir Bhairavi. Yeah. That's what I guess. So if anybody feels it is, no, it belongs to some other raga also, I don't know. They're still learning.
Yeah. At least that's what occurs to us now. So go on, Anirad. Give us a feel of Sindhu Bhairavi.
Na 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 na
Actually, sorry, my throat is really bad. I'm having a little bit of cold.
But, yeah, but even then, I think it's...
So, not able to give a structured, complete alap.
But I think even then, as a demonstration of the raga, this was very apt. Can we move on and do the swaras today?
Yeah, we'll do the swaras line by line. And I request listeners to keenly observe the changes in the raga and they can appreciate the composition.
Yeah.
मंदिर में तुम राम हो साईं नीने ससा सरी गरी गरी सासा
नीने ससा सरी गरी गरी सासा
मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद सरी पमा मागम पमा गरी सा
सरी पमा मागम पमा गरी सा
गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक मम पद दद बनिद पमा मा
So here is the transition where it goes to the feel of Ahir Bairavi.
Mama pada dada panida pa mama mama
Man mandir me sai sai Ga 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 re sari ga ma ga re sa
Ga 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 re sari ga ma ga re sa
Bolo Ram ek hi naam Nene sa sa re ga re sa sa
Nene sa sa re ga re sa sa
Bolo Ram ek hi naam Sa ga sa pa 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 da ni da pa ma
Sa ga sa pa 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 da ni da pa ma
Sab mil bolo sai ram Ma 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 ga ma da pa ma ga re ma ga re sa
Ma 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 ga ma da pa ma ga re ma ga re sa
So now that we have all the swaras, Anirudh, are there more bhajans in this raga? I mean, you are mentioning there are so many bhajans in Sindhu Bhairavi.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, a couple of bhajans in Sindhu Bhairavi. There are so many like
Gananatha, Gananatha
is one.
Raghunandana Raghavaravari.
Yes. So please let us now move on to the beat. Anand is here with the tabla, so yeah. If you can demonstrate to us the rhythm of this bhajan.
Yes, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. It's a medium bhajan, it's not too slow.
Yeah.
And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mandir mein tum Ram ho saai
Mandir mein tum Ram ho saai
Masjid mein Noor Muhammad
Masjid mein Noor Muhammad
Mandir mein tum Ram ho saai
So that gives us a good idea of the beat and the raga and the swaras. Thank you so much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishwan.
Salam. Now that we have become familiar with the raga, the tala, and the lyrics of the bhajan, let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which the bhajan should be sung. We need to know the meaning of all the words in this bhajan for us to sing it with heartfelt devotion to our Lord. So let's start with the first line.
Mandir mein tum Ram ho Sai.
Mandir means temple, and in this context, it specifically refers to the holy place of worship for Hindus. The second word is me, meaning in. The third word is tum, you. The fourth word is Ram, referring to Lord Rama. Literally, Rama means he who is pleasing, endearing, who is lovable. Baba says that the name Rama consists of three syllables, Ra, A and Ma. Ra represents the fire god who burns away our sins. A represents the sun god who dispels the darkness of ignorance. And Ma represents the moon god who cools our temper and produces tranquility. So the name Rama has the triple power of washing away one's sins, removing one's ignorance and tranquilizing one's mind. The phrase Ho Sai means Sai is. One meaning of Sai is, Sai means the master. So in this line we call out to Lord Sai, who assumes the form of Lord Rama, adored in many Hindu temples. Let's move on to the second line.
Masjid mein Noor Muhammad.
Masjid, the first word refers to a mosque. Literally, mosque means the place of prostration. The third word is Noor, which means light. And the fourth word, Muhammad, referring to Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad's grandfather named him Muhammad so that he would be praised in the heavens and the earth. Muhammad led a very uneventful life in Mecca in Saudi Arabia, showing no signs of the prophet in the making that he was to become. What set him apart from his compatriots was his absolute truthfulness, trustworthiness and integrity, and also his sense of justice and compassion for the poor, for the oppressed and the downtrodden. In his late 30s, Muhammad took to regularly visiting a cave in Mount Hira on the outskirts of Mecca to seek solitude and contemplation. Muhammad reported that while in a trance-like state, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and he received the call to become a prophet. He kept receiving the word of God through the angel Gabriel, and the divine message was recorded in the holy text, Quran. During his years of preaching, Muhammad taught that there was only one God. At Mecca, God informed Prophet Muhammad that the tribe leaders who did not accept Islam plotted to assassinate him. Accordingly, he was commanded to migrate to Medina. At Medina, he was recognized as the Prophet of God, and his followers increased there. In Medina, he established a nation of equals based on the brotherhood between the Muslims in Medina and also those from Mecca, regardless of wealth or social status. Mecca and Medina are therefore considered the holiest cities in the religion of Islam. The holy mosque of the Prophet Muhammad is in Medina, and it is this mosque which holds Muhammad's tomb. Islam requires every Muslim to make at least one pilgrimage to Mecca if he or she can do so. Most pilgrims who visit Mecca also go to Medina. So in this line we hail the Lord who is the light who came down as Muhammad once upon a time, and who is the highly praised one, especially by those who go to the mosque. Let's move on to the third line.
Gurudware mein tum Guru Nanak.
Gurudware is a plural of Gurudwara, which is the holy place of worship for members of the Sikh community. Literally, Gurudwara means the doorway to the Guru, because Dwara means door. Guru Nanak refers to the one who was the first among the 10 Gurus responsible for founding the Sikh religion. It was Guru Nanak who first started and propagated community singing, and he did this to promote unity among people of different faiths. In fact, in a discourse in March 1992, Swami said, Samyak Kirtanam is Sankirtanam. that is congregational singing of bhajans is the best form of bhajans. And Swami went on to give the difference between kirtanam and sankirtanam. Kirtanam, Swami said, is an individual affair. It is singing by an individual for the fulfillment of his prayers, while sankirtanam aims at the well-being of the whole universe. And this is also described as samyak bhajan, community singing. This method of singing, Swami said, was first initiated by Guru Nanak, the founder of Sikhism. So in this line, we offer our obeisance to the Almighty Lord who is adored as Guru Nanak in the holy Gurudwaras. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Man mandir mein sai sai.
Man refers to the mind, and mandir, as we saw, means temple. Since the mind is nothing but a bundle of thoughts, man mandir actually refers to the temple of our heart. Bhagavan often says that our heart is his permanent abode. In fact, during his birthday discourse on November 23, 2001, Swami beautifully said, "There is no temple dearer to God than the human heart. He loves this abode and this is his true residence. We should not look for him outside us." On another occasion in 1964, Swami said, "Sand that has little grains of mica is valuable, but the sand which has veins of gold is much more precious. Thus, sand is valued according to the preciousness of the metal which it has in its fold. Similarly, human hearts are evaluated by the contents therein. Keep God in your hearts. That is the best way to make your heart the most precious of your possessions. When God is installed in the heart, you will see only God everywhere, even in the objective world. The influence of God is such that even as you contemplate on Him, all traces of envy and greed will just disappear from the mind." What comes to mind is the experience of Mr. Bala Subramanya Subbarao, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. He is the father of Brother Arvind Bala Subramanya, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university who now works at Radio Sai. In 2009, Arvind's parents were living in Mumbai. Sometime in September 2009, Arvind received a phone call from his father. And his father said, "Arvind, today as we were heading to the office in the car, I began to feel very uneasy. My left hand began to ache a lot and I started feeling faint. Suddenly there were beads of perspiration trickling down the sides of my face." And when Arvind heard this, with a bit of trepidation in his voice, he said, "Dad, those appear to be the classic symptoms of a heart attack." And his father continued, "I am right now in the Mumbai hospital. The doctors here say that I had a heart attack and I should rush in for immediate angiography and possible surgery. And I thought of speaking to you about this." Arvind obviously was at a total loss of words, because till that day he had always sought his parents' advice when in a tight situation. He had never been in a position of giving them advice, at least not in matters such as these. So Arvind told his father the only thought that arose in his mind, and that is, "Dad, take the first flight out of Mumbai and come to Puttaparthi. Don't do anything there." And so, against medical advice and with his mother's assistance, his father reached Puttaparthi. Arvind immediately wrote a letter to Bhagwan and decided to try speaking to the Lord. As Bhagwan was getting into the car after the mandir session that evening, Arvind went to him and offered the letter and said, "Swami, father had a heart attack in Mumbai." And Swami's instant response was, "It is not a heart attack." But Arvind said, "Swami, the doctors themselves said that it was a heart attack." But Swami simply said with a smile, "It may be indigestion, but it is not heart attack." And then Arvind continued, "I have told father to come to Puttaparthi, Swami." When Swami heard this, he just nodded and left. But the words of Swami filled Arvind with hope and confidence. The next day, Arvind's parents arrived in Puttaparthi, and when they met Arvind after having Bhagwan's darshan, his father said, "Today, as I was returning after darshan, I felt tired and a bit dizzy. It must have been because of the tension." But Arvind was not ready to attribute it so simply, and immediately took his father to the super speciality hospital in Puttaparthi. The doctors did an ECG and said,
he had a second angina this morning. We will have to do an angiogram to determine further course of action. Arvind wanted the angiogram to be done immediately if possible. However, there was some malfunction in the cath lab where the procedure had to be done. A technician had been sent for, but he would be coming only after 3 days. This was because the next 2 days were weekend days and the Friday was Gandhi Jayanti, which in India is a national holiday. So the doctor comforted Arvind by saying, "There is nothing to worry. We can easily stabilize him with medicines for a few days and after that we can do the angiogram. Or else you could take him to Swami's hospital in Bangalore. But the journey, even in a taxi, might prove tiresome. It would be best that he is kept here on medicines." So Arvind decided to ask Swami again about what is to be done, and Swami's reply was straightforward: "Do not take him anywhere. Let him be here only." And Swami even added, "To the extent possible, treat him only with medicines." Now, having decided to follow Bhagwan implicitly, Arvind's father was stayed on in Puttaparthi itself. The next day, Arvind got a phone call from the hospital saying that although it was a national holiday, the technician had come and got the cath lab running. And thus his father's angiogram was done. And the doctor said, "There is some block in some of the small capillaries that supply the heart. We usually do not do a surgery for blocks in such tiny vessels, for the risk of rupture overwhelms the advantage of the surgery. Therefore, appropriate medication, diet and exercise can easily substitute surgery." And now when he heard this, Arvind remembered what Swami had said, and he simply accepted the option of medication, diet and exercise. And that is what his father did. In fact, his father felt so much better that he was ready to return to Mumbai in a couple of days. And that evening, Arvind decided to sit in darshan with his father, and he wanted to express his gratitude to Swami. When Swami came, Arvind knelt up, but his father was still sitting. Thinking that Swami might proceed ahead, Arvind told his father to kneel up and come near Bhagwan. But immediately Swami had a stern look on his face and said, "Do not make him get up like that." And immediately Arvind apologized. And what followed was a beautiful interaction between Swami and his father. And at the end of it, Bhagwan gave him a packet of vibhuti and then said something very profound, very moving. Swami said, "When Swami is in your heart, nothing can happen to it." What a profound lesson, and what a way of reiterating it. And the Lord does it in a manner we can never ever forget. So in this line, Manu Mandirme Sai Sai, we hail the Lord who always resides in our hearts, who is within us all the time. Let's now move on to the fifth line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Bolo Ram ek hi naam, Bolo Ram ek hi naam.
Bolo means chant or sing. Ek means one. He is, and naam means name. So the phrase ek hi naam means the only name. But let us not take it in the literal sense that the name Rama is to be chanted. Bhagwan has always exhorted us to take up any name of the Lord that appeals to us, but chant continuously. In 1968, after the inauguration of Bhagwan's abode in Dharmakshetra in Mumbai, the first world conference of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva organization was held. And during one of his discourses in this conference, Bhagwan said, "Only those who are ignorant of the glory of God will insist on one name and one form for his adoration. And what is worse, condemn the use by others of other names and forms. Do not go about proclaiming that you are a sect distinct and separate from those who adore God in other forms and names. Thereby you are only limiting the very God whom you are extolling." And then Bhagwan declared, "I affirm that this Sai form is the form of all the various names that man uses for the adoration of the Divine. So I am teaching that no distinction should be made between the names Rama, Krishna, Ishwara, Allah or Sai, for they are all my names." So that is what is the essence of this line, Bolo Ram Ekahi Naam. Let us sing any name of the Lord, any name that strengthens our faith and helps us connect with the Infinite One. Let's move on to the last line.
Sab mil bolo Sai Ram.
Sab means all, mil means together. In the book History, which is a compilation of Bhagwan's descriptions and stories about his childhood, it is mentioned how on one occasion Swami said there were a sizable number of Muslims in Puttaparthi. They used to celebrate the festivals of Muslim fakirs in which the Hindus also used to participate. In that context, I used to teach the children, it is not the religion that is important, morality is important. In fact, morality is the life breath of a person. Hence, cast off all your differences of religion and caste and be friendly with everyone. You also participate in the festivals of the fakirs. Bhagwan went on to say, while I was teaching thus, one boy got up and told me, Raju, my parents will not agree to my participation in a Muslim festival. We are Brahmins. Bhagwan says, I explained to that boy, my dear, first and foremost, you are a human being. Your religion is love and your caste is the caste of humanity. Therefore, you always have this principle of unity as your goal. The parents of these children were, however, not happy with my teaching, Swami said. They thought that I was spoiling young minds by my messages. They therefore used to quarrel with me, saying, what Raju, you are spoiling our children, teaching that there should not be differences on account of caste and religion. But Swami said, I was very firm and I used to argue with them that there was no religion greater than love in this world. So in this line, when we sing Sab Mil Bolo Sai Ram, we exhort each one of us to come together and sing the sacred name of Sai, the name that embodies the divinity that is allowed in all religions. And with that, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, let us proceed to listening the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in Prashantinilayam.
मंदिर में तुम राम साई मंदिर में तुम राम साई मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद मस्जिद में अल्लाह अकबर गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक मन मंदिर में साई साई मन मंदिर में साई साई बोलो राम एक ही नाम बोलो राम एक ही नाम सब मिल बोलो साईरा सब मिल बोलो साईरा मंदिर में तुम राम साई मस्जिद में नूर मोहम्मद गुरुद्वारे में तुम गुरु नानक मन मंदिर में साई साई बोलो राम कहिना बोलो रामे कहिना सब मिल बोलो साईरा सब मिल बोलो साईरा
And now in the last lap of this program, here is a small excerpt of a conversation with Brother Balaram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who had the opportunity to sing in front of Bhagwan for many years and even now continues to sing in Prashant Nilayam whenever he visits this place, besides singing regularly in Sundaram, Bhagwan's abode in Chennai.
See the Lord's compassion. See, the more you learn music, the more you discover how deficient you are.
Exactly.
And the more you know how far is perfection. And Swami is the embodiment of perfection. And I shudder to think how much you tolerated.
Exactly.
See, if something after 10 years of music practice, we are able to identify that this is Appaswaram. We couldn't identify that 10 years ago.
No.
Now we are identifying that this is Appaswaram. And imagine we are singing in front of Swami.
Exactly.
And if it was Appaswaram for us after 10 years of music, and if it was like 10 centimeters away, in Swami's scale of things, we would have been 1 kilometer away from the Shruti.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you know, it didn't matter. I think now that it didn't matter, it was just compassion. He gave the chance. That's all.
Exactly. I mean, that's my reading. I mean, there's no love. There's no reason, I mean, to disbelieve the fact that God is a music lover. I mean, that I think, yes. I think Swami in as many words has admitted this. But also if you see, maybe music was a medium. And what was more important, like Swami said in that discourse, he said bhavam and then the other two I will ensure. So maybe that was just a medium. I mean, again, just a random thought strikes my mind. In one other kriti, Tyagaraja Swami, actually it's one of those rare kritis which I've heard, he's singing on Krishna as a form of God. It's generally always Rama.
Yes.
So I remember there he sings,
Raga Rasika Raga Rahita
Raga Rasika Raga Rahita. Krishna is described as Raga Rasika, as one who enjoys Raga, and also he says Raga Rahita. But there he is referring to Raga Dvesha.
Oh.
So if you, I mean, sometimes you wonder, I mean, because each time I hear that line, I'm actually wondering whether Tyagaraja Swami did a pun.
Hmm.
Because actually if you see a lot of bhajans, no brother, Sai bhajans we sing, are not strictly within the framework of a Raga.
Yes.
Ishwara Allah, if you see, Ishwara Allah Karuna Sagar, you have some other Raga coming in between.
Yes.
I mean, that way if you see, I think Swami has never allowed us to be constrained or never
he
required
never said
us to be constrained.
When you compose bhajans, ensure that
exactly.
It falls into a Raga.
Exactly.
He never said that.
Exactly. I remember when Kote Sar, one of our senior brothers, singing Alap in Mohanam or something and then going off to Darbari.
Yes.
I mean, what? But then it was sung in Swami's presence.
Yes.
So I think yes, it's also because again coming back to this question of I'm not trained in music, I don't have a good voice, I don't understand ragas, can I still take this as a path? I mean, if you see the path laid out itself doesn't strictly say that you will have to adhere to all this.
Mm.
Yes, Swami has appreciated music which is Puritan in that sense.
Yes.
I think I remember after one such beautiful concerts like that. Somebody went and told after a concert. It was a brilliant concert. Somebody went and told Swami, Swami, this artist sang so beautifully. And then the devotee remarked, he said, Swami, talent is a gift of God. I think immediately Swami corrected him saying, no, talent is God.
Yes.
And not just a gift of God. So, while I think Swami appreciates that bit of it, I think as far as bhajan as a sadhana is concerned, I don't think Swami has laid down those restrictions at all.
So it is universal in its every sense.
Exactly.
So that was Brother Balaram Chandran, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University and also a blessed bhajan singer. And with that, we come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, you can send us your feedback by writing to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, D.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan with utmost humility and gratitude.
So with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for our next segment based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, soak yourself in these nectarous messages of Bhagwan, and I will be back after an hour for a fresh episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Today, we will dwell on experiencing Sai as Allah, La Ilaha Illallah. You will listen to very revealing anecdotes of people from the Muslim world who've been touched by the love of Bhagwan. From all corners of the world, people from all disciplines, and people from different races. So that's coming up. It is going to be a very beautiful session. But after Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much. And Sai Ram.